You're listening to the Girl Banker Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bartholomew. The Twigs Group loves community bank marketing. Your marketing activities must include consistent content, authentic messaging, and many other creative components to grow your market share and connect with your customers. Visit welovecommunitybanks.com to see how the Twigs Group can help you with your bank marketing. Today, I have Allison Twigs Dyer with me on the Girl Banker Podcast, and I'm so excited to have her here today because if you've been following me for a while or if you've ever heard me speak in person, you've heard me talk about Allison. She was really the one, the instigator, the brains behind the name of the Girl Banker and really urging me to consider having this platform and to build a personal brand. She taught me everything about social media. She taught me everything about personal branding. And it's really cool how our lives have kind of come together at the right place in the right time. And so, Allison, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this conversation today.
Yes. And I didn't mention, Allison owns the Twigs Group, which is the agency of record for Grand Savings Bank. And she's like a one-woman show, but not really. She launched this, 2016, 2015, 2013?
2014. Yeah.
2014.
April 2014. Yeah.
Yes. Launched the Twigs Group in 2014. And why she's here today is she also put together the really awesome mentality that women can say no to things. And it's an initiative called Reject the Hustle. So we're going to be talking about that. We'll have her on again to talk more about bank marketing and more about what the Twigs Group does. But I'm so pumped for you to blow everyone's mind with this mentality that you can say no and still be successful.
Absolutely. It's my favorite word to say
no. It is. Yes. Another thing that I'd like to talk about too is Allison and I, the way that we kind of connected initially was that she was just starting something new in her career and I was starting something new with my career and the universe just kind of put us together. So talk us through kind of that period of time in your life and how you launched the Twigs Group and then we'll go from there.
I spent 14 years in tourism and destination marketing and management, and it was a great fulfilling career. But I got to a place where I just wanted more and felt like there was more out there for me. And so I started thinking about starting my own marketing agency. And in April of 2014, I finally took the leap and just went for it. And so the Twigs Group was born and we're about a little over 6 years old. Soon after, met you in a Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And you were looking for someone to help with bank marketing. And we hit it off quite instantly and have been fast friends ever since. And I never would have guessed that one of my first clients would be a bank, but I really loved it. And we like to joke and say that we make bank marketing sexy because Natalie always says that banking isn't sexy.
No.
And she's not. Right. But we try our best.
There's nothing sexy about banking.
We try our best. And so I've had, various clients over the 6 years, and you're right, I'm a one-woman show, but what's really unique is that I sort of have a team of freelancers that work with me, and they all either have their own companies or work full-time jobs, but they help me make the Twigs Group very successful, and I enjoy working with them because all of them are younger than me, far more talented than I am, and super creative. And it's fun to be in their space and learn from them.
That's so cool. And I really feel like, as I mentioned before, the Girl Banker came about because of your urging of me to consider blogging or to build a personal brand. And I remember telling you, what do I have to say that anyone would want to listen to or to read? And at that point in time, there was such a need for advocacy for women in banking. We both were kind of experiencing this point in our careers where we wanted to be in control. We wanted to have the control of our own destiny and not to be from some old white guy or old OWD, as I refer them, old white dudes. So Allison is really responsible for helping me to urge me to do the Girl Banker in general, to build that brand. And we were sitting at a conference one day
We should have been listening. We were. But she kind of came up with the name The Girl Banker as a playoff of Girl Boss. And the rest is history. And so I'm so thankful for you for your encouragement to step out of the box and to do something different. It's created a really super fun network as a result of that. So I'm forever grateful.
Well, it's been fun to be along the ride with you on The Girl Banker because you've done a phenomenal job being a voice and an advocate for women in banking. I know that's dear to your heart and it's a passion project for you. And I've enjoyed watching all the other girl bankers, you know, sort of come into the fold of The Girl Banker brand. It's been amazing. I just gave you an idea and you ran with it and you've made it amazing and you're helping people and you're giving them a place to come and vent or come and get advice. Or, you know, I know that you go to universities and talk to young women about having a career in banking because that's not always on their radar. Mm-hmm. And you're making that possible for them. So that day where we were at that conference, not really paying attention to the speaker, but we were dreaming up something really great. And it's fun to see what it's become.
Yeah, I think it says a lot too about how important it is for women to support each other too, because just the fact that you spent the time and energy to help support me and to urge me. Otherwise, I probably would have never done it. I would have been in my own head. I would have talked myself out of it. And I would have convinced myself that I didn't deserve to do it or the imposter syndrome. So I'm really thankful for that. What I'm also thankful for is that you have taught me this mentality of rejecting the hustle, because I know there's going to be a lot of listeners that are going to resonate with this and it's going to blow their minds that they can say no to things and still be successful. You know, I just think about all the times that you've helped walk me through this process that it's okay to say no, and how thankful I am that I've done that, because there's somewhere along the way, I don't know if it's the climb for women or if it's just the constant pull and tug from so many different directions where we feel we have to do all the things for everybody all the time. So talk to us about Reject the Hustle.
Okay, sure. A couple of years ago, I, like probably many of your listeners, you know, I was burnt out, frankly. And I started to take a look around and to see what was sort of causing me to feel the way I was feeling. And it was several things. One, it was imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. I was worried about that my agency wasn't growing fast enough, that I didn't have enough clients, that I wasn't making as much money as this person was making. And that was sort of this dark hole. And then I was also on social media a lot, and all the social media messages I felt like were telling me that I wasn't working hard enough. I needed to grind harder, hustle harder, you know, hustle babe, where's your hustle game? And then not only did I need to have a job, I needed a side hustle, you know, on top of that. And so I realized that this was toxic. This, you know, this messaging was very toxic. And guess what? It was in pink and sparkles, and it was directed at women. And we already, I feel like, are born hustlers. We already do all the things. We are moms. We are partners. We are working women. We are entrepreneurs. We show up to do all the things already. And so to have this message, hey, hustle harder. You're still mm-hmm. not doing enough. Man, that just sort of slapped me upside the head. And I realized that there needed to be a better way. I was saying yes to a lot of things that I didn't really want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of created Reject the Hustle. It's a website, rejectthehustle.com, and you can take the pledge that you're going to reject the hustle and focus more on self-care and joy and things that light you up, that you're going to learn how to say no to the things you really don't want to do and yes to the things you really do want to do. Mm-hmm. Because what I've learned is that saying no opens a door to abundance. You know, I've said to you before that in the beginning, it's a little scary to say no, especially when you're owning your own business or starting a business, or even for you with The Girl Banker, you got lots of offers to do things and we would talk about them, and not everything was meant for you. Not everything fit, not everything felt good. Some things felt icky. And anytime, you know, anything feels icky or off, it's a no. It's got to be a no, because mm-hmm. I don't believe you're going to take an icky feeling and turn it into a yes. So there's a Facebook group, there's Instagram, and really this is just a movement to remind women that they have the power to say no in their lives and not do all the things. Now, I've had people reach out to me and say, but I really like to hustle. Great, I really like to hustle too, but I like to hustle in a way that's defined by me and not right. defined by men, not defined by social media messages that tell me that I'm less than. I schedule my week in such a way that is perfect for me, and it's my own hustle. It may not be your hustle, it may not be other people's hustle, but it's mine. And so mm-hmm. that's sort of where Reject the Hustle came from, was just, I love to say no. As you know this, we talk about this all the time. I say no to a lot of things. Warren Buffett is one of my favorite people, and one of his best sayings, I think, and then I'll paraphrase, is really, really successful people say no to almost everything. Could you imagine?
And that would probably surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, to say no to almost everything. I mean, if you just thought about that right now in your life, saying no to almost everything, think of the time that would be freed up. Think of the space you'd have to create or think or dream or do the things you really want to do.
Yeah. I think this can apply not to just tasks or duties or jobs, but people too.
Oh my goodness, Natalie. Yes. You and I talk about this a lot. One of the things I tell people is, you know, the unfollow button will save you. And mm-hmm. if you are going through your Instagram feed and it feels toxic in any way, if it makes you feel bad in any way, unfollow. You know, unfollow people that make you feel bad about yourself. Unfollow people on Instagram, unfollow people in real life.
Yeah. And it's okay to do that. You can take control of your feed. It's your feed.
It's your feed. It's your life, right? And another trick that I love to tell people, because, you know, as women, we do get called on to do all the things. We're sometimes PTA presidents, and we're homeroom moms, and then we work full-time jobs, and we have a spouse, and we have friends. And so we get asked to do things all day, every day. And a lot of times people will come up and ask you something right to your face, hoping that they catch you at a moment, you know, in a weak moment, right? That, mm-hmm. that you'll say yes to the task. And so my favorite thing to say is, can I get back to you? That is the most brilliant sentence, because it buys you time to go away by yourself and think about, do I really want to do what was just asked of me?
Yeah.
And then you can come back and either text them or email them or call them back and say, yes, I'm happy to do it. Or no, that's just not going to work for me right now. That's just not something I can add to my plate right now. But so many times we're put on the spot by bosses, by spouses, by friends, by, you know, other moms at the baseball park. Can mm-hmm. I get back to you? Gives you time to make the best answer for you.
That is such a great tip, and partnered with the litmus test of if it's something you want to do tomorrow versus something you do in 2 weeks. If it feels yucky right now, then you don't have to say yes. And sometimes we need those tips and tricks to hold ourselves accountable, especially for those of us who are people pleasers.
Absolutely. You know, I know that you many times will get a request for a speaking engagement, and it'll be 6 months away. And, you know, you'll say something to me about it, and I'll say, would you do it if it was Thursday? Mm-hmm. And whatever your answer is, I feel like would be your answer in 6 months as well.
Right.
Because it's going to take a lot of work, or it's a long way from your family, and you really don't want to spend 2 nights away from home. You know, whatever the parameters may be, I think that is another good way to ask yourself, would I do it this week? You know, if it's being asked right. of me in the future, would I do it this week? And sometimes it's yes, right? Like mm-hmm. we've all had those moments where someone has asked us to do something and it's an immediate heck yes. And those feel so good, because you just know in your core that that's something you want to do. So when those things come to you, then heck yes, go for it. But if yeah. you have any pause at all, and that's something that this, you know, thinking about this and creating this movement has taught me, is the pause, right?
Right.
I need to listen to how I'm feeling about this. Mm-hmm. And boy, now that I'm doing it, I can really spot sort of that gut feeling of, I don't want to do this. I don't want to hang with these people. I don't want to do this. I don't want to work with this client.
Because your gut is telling you. It's always
telling you. You just have to listen. You're absolutely right. And I'm late 40s, and it has taken me a long time to really understand that my gut has not steered me wrong, not one time. Mm-hmm. I just didn't listen.
Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to those who are listening to this right now? And they're sitting there going, oh my gosh, I've been doing everything wrong. I've already said yes to all the things. Like, where's a good place to start for these newbies of rejecting the hustle.
The very next request. And then I would also say, take a look at what you've said yes to. And if you are feeling really bad, start working your way out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not worth it. If we have learned nothing in what I call the great pause, which we've been in the last 5 months, life is precious. And if you really don't want to go to this event, or you really don't want to do this project or whatever, it's time now to start standing up for yourself and backing out of those things. And then saying no, I do believe it's hard for people. And I think you have to start with something small and start saying no to very small things. And then when that big thing comes, you're practiced, right? It's a muscle. It's a muscle reaction to start saying no.
Yeah, you have to exercise.
You do. You have to exercise it. I think it can start simply with unfollowing people on social media that make you feel bad about yourself, or that, you know, talk about things that trigger you. You do not have to follow those people. And guess what? You don't have to follow them in real life either. We all probably have been around someone who is an energy suck. And every time you hang out with that person, you feel worse when you leave. Mm-hmm. Well, it's time to start saying no to hanging out with that person, and you will feel much better, you know, as a result by saying no.
And you're so right. If we haven't learned anything from the last 6 months, it is truly realigning with what makes the most sense for you, and only being around those that add value back to you and that you want to be around. I have found personally that I'm more introverted now than I probably ever realized I was. Maybe I always was and just didn't know it, but it's really been a kick in the gut to me of, you know, I've had separation from certain people or things or activities, and I don't ever want to get back into doing that again.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes something of this, you know, of this nature to really force us to see things that way.
Absolutely. It certainly is, has been a very trying time, but I think that we're going to get on the other side much better and much saner and happier, and our lives are filled with more joy. And what I want to caution us all is that I feel like when the, you know, when it's over, when we're past it, the big fire hose is going to turn on, and then we're all just going to fall right back into old patterns of hustling like crazy. And we've got to remind ourselves that we slowed down and it was still okay.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't go to all the networking events and it was okay.
And we made it.
And we made it.
That says a lot to even organizations that are used to having all these things. Like, we all have to kind of maybe change the way we approach all this stuff, because we're wearing everyone out. Everyone's tired and burnt out.
Absolutely. In fact, you'll text me about your week or what you're about to do, and I will say to you, that wears me out.
Yeah.
So, Natalie, I will say that, back to your original question, I sort of tell people that I think there's three ways to do this. One, you start saying no to things you really don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Two, you prioritize yourself. And men, women, moms, we are not good at that. No. And we need to get better at that, because, you know, the old saying, you can't pour from an empty cup, right?
Right.
And if we want to be great parents and great spouses and great coworkers and friends, we've got to prioritize ourselves and take care of ourselves first. And then third, I would say, and this is one of my favorite things, because I have been working on this very diligently, is set boundaries.
Yes.
Stop letting toxic people, toxic things, toxic situations into your circle.
Yes. You have to set those boundaries. You had such a great post today from the Reject the Hustle Instagram account, and I'm going to mess it up, so I'm going to let you say it. It was about boundaries.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably mess it up too. But just essentially, I think it was just make sure you're setting them, right?
Yeah.
Because if we don't set boundaries, we just get walked on.
Right.
If you are the person in the office that will say yes and do all the things, guess what's going to happen to you?
You're going to get asked
to do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
So set a boundary. I am not going to make coffee anymore for the networking event, or I am not going to stay around late and clean up after the networking event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not telling you to be a bad coworker. I'm just telling you that it doesn't have to be you every time. Mm-hmm. And if you're the person that just blanketly says yes to all the things, then people are going to take advantage of that.
Yeah. I have a perfect example of someone that has just been they have lived their life as a servant to others. And I won't say who they are. Anyone that knows me well enough and is related to me will know. But this individual has just given and given and given and given. And while I know that that is important to them to know that they are giving back, they are the ones that are always sought out to lead this or take this on or who's going to come do this. And it's, I mean, they're worn out and they're always asked and they always do it. And they literally get just ran right over the top of, and they never set those boundaries.
And that makes me sad to hear that, you know, they're worn out. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if we sort of look at ourselves and look at what's wearing us out, I think we can find some places to say no and to set boundaries and to prioritize ourselves. And we're going to feel a lot better. I know I have. I mean, this isn't just mm-hmm. something that I decided to throw together because I wanted another thing in pink. I mean, you know, right. all the stuff in pink that I can come up with makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I had to practice this for myself. I had to say no. And you know me, I will say no, even to you, if it's mm-hmm. something I just don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I know that as my friend, you understand that and you respect that. You're not going to be mad at me. You're going to understand that that's sure. just my boundary. And if you do have a friend who gets mad at you, I think you need to reevaluate the friendship, because we as women, yes, we need to support each other, but we also need to support each other when one of us says, hey, I just can't go to happy hour tonight because I'm going to stay home and take a bath.
Yeah.
And we need to say, that's a great idea. We'll see you next time.
I think they'll do the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And we need to be supportive of each other when we turn each other down. Mm-hmm. And understand and respect that if I ask you to do something, Natalie, and you say, I can't, I need to respect that that is your boundary and you're making space for something that's important to you. Maybe you're making space for your boys. And I want you to make space for your boys more than I would ever want you to do something for me. Right? That for needs sure. to be how we feel about each other. That you're not saying no to me. You're saying no so that you can make space. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest thing I've learned lately, is that when I've made space, and I've had a lot of space in the quarantine, I can do some amazing things with space in my brain. I'm reading mm-hmm. more books than ever. I'm being more creative than ever. And so no lets you create space for yourself.
Yeah, it really does. And man, how important it is to, if the people you choose to surround yourself with, to make sure that they follow this mentality as well, because they can be accountability partners. It's like, you know, we've bounced things where you've trained yourself. There's times when I'm still in the learning phase, and me to go to you and say, you know, I've got this, and for you to either call me out or to say, you know, you don't have to do that. Sometimes you still have to have someone to remind you. And that's what I love about the Reject the Hustle social media presence, is because sometimes it'll just pop up and be this nice little subtle reminder at just the right time of, oh, you know what? I needed that. So it's a great account to follow. And it's so beautiful in pink.
It is beautiful in pink. And, you know, self-care is a big buzzy word right now. And a lot mm-hmm. of times it is tacked onto bubble baths and face masks, and those are wonderful things. But self-care is also setting boundaries, prioritizing ourselves, and saying no to things we really don't want to do. I was with a group of women back in February when we could still be with groups of women. Wasn't that great?
Yes. Back
and I said to them, okay, right now, I just want you to imagine that for the rest of the week, you say no to everything. And I could literally see on their faces, they just lightened up a little bit. And I thought, oh my goodness, what are all y'all doing? Like, you're so busy, you know.
There was probably a big exhale in the room.
There was this big exhale. And, you know, you're not going to pick up, you're not going to do dinner, you're not going to, you know, what would that look like? And so obviously we can't say no to everything. But if we really start looking at the things we can say no to, mm-hmm. you start freeing up time for the things you really want to do.
Yeah. And man, that's okay to do, because it's our time and it's our energy.
And it's precious. Time is precious. We do own that. One of the other tricks I really like to tell working women is that our calendars are our own, and only we know what's on the calendar. So sometimes someone will reach out to you and want to meet with you at 8 o'clock in the morning. And maybe you do school drop off at 8 o'clock. Maybe that's just really cutting it close for you, and you're not really going to be your best self at 8 o'clock. Many times we just agree to the meeting because they want to meet with us at 8 o'clock. But if you'll say, hey, I can't do 8 o'clock, but 9:15 works much better for me. Many times that person requesting the meeting will just say, yeah, 9:15 works.
Yeah.
And they don't know if you're busy or not. They don't know what's on your calendar. Only right. you know that. So be busy in times when you really don't want to meet or you're not going to be at your best. You know, some people aren't great in morning meetings. Some people aren't as great in the afternoon. So protect that calendar and tell people you're busy. And guess what? Mm-hmm. They will find another time to meet with you.
That's such a fascinating, I'm sure that some people are like, why haven't I thought of that? Because our calendars aren't just an open book for everyone to see or to review before they send us requests. I mean, this is something that we have control over. And absolutely. I think this can be applied not just for on the personal side, but specifically at work too, when it comes to you've got deadlines to meet and you've got big projects on your mind, you're needing all the creativity to be present. And then you've got someone, you know, trying to demand your time from them. It's okay to tell them no. It's okay to say, I don't have the bandwidth. That's one of my favorite phrases that you've taught me. I don't have the bandwidth for that right now, because that's like a actual, I can visualize that.
Right. Isn't that good? Because that's truth, right? You really don't have the time to work that in. And let's be honest, most everyone who's coming to ask you something is something for them.
Right.
It's not really ever something for you.
It's mutually exclusive.
Yeah. It's something they need from you. And so if you're working on a big project or you need your creativity, that's a great time to say, hey, not right now, mm-hmm. but later in the week, I'd be happy to meet with you about that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And as women, I just don't think we're doing that. I think we say, come in, I'll help you with this real quick. And then you're just off track, right? Mm-hmm. You thought it was going to take 5 minutes. It now takes 30 minutes and you're completely off track. Now it's lunchtime, you know. So right. if we would just, you know, set what I call like this, you know, this imaginary boundary, like not now, right? Not now, later.
I can't even think how many times I've made the expression of where did the day go?
Oh, yes.
And it's already time to go home and you don't feel productive or you don't feel like you got anything done because you basically let someone else rule the day. And then you feel bad and then you get down about not being productive and realize it's really not your fault because someone else kind of controlled your day because you didn't set up a boundary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I hope all of us can try to get better at that guilty feeling. It'll get done.
Yes.
And you know, I always joke and say, you know, I'm not a brain surgeon. And if I don't get to it today, it's not a life or death situation. It'll happen tomorrow and it'll right. be just fine. And so, you know, there are very few people in this world where a decision or an action is life or death. Yes. And so, you know, I'm thankfully not one of those people and I have to give myself the grace that I can do that tomorrow.
Right.
And it'll still be okay. I can respond to that email tomorrow. I'm going to dinner with my family. And let me tell you, my new latest thing, Natalie, is I have set the do not disturb on my phone from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. So
that's
nothing comes through. And I have never slept better. I've been doing it for 2 weeks now and it's fantastic. And only my favorites can call during that time. Like if my son, he's in college and if he needed me after 10 o'clock, he can call and get me. But no beeping, no vibrating, no, you know, dinging on my phone from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m.
That's
glorious.
So good. Yeah, we have all these cool tools and tips and tricks that we can put those to work for us. Let them work for us.
Absolutely. And we need to put this technology to work for us, not against us.
100%. Well, Allison, I know that you have put up a boundary that you have a certain stop time today. And since I have used up all that time, I'm going to respect this boundary. And thank you so much for coming on here and talking about this. I know it's been life-changing for me, both personally and career-wise. I know that everyone listening is probably taking notes. As she mentioned, there is an Instagram, there's a Facebook page or group to follow. Go and follow them right now. You're going to be so glad you did. You're going to love the little reminders that it gives you and how cute and pink it is too.
It is. It's hot pink, which is one of my favorite shades of pink. And it's rejectthehustle.com. We have a blog. And then, yeah, the Instagram, we're having fun over there sharing, you know, really inspiring messages about self-care and saying no. So thank you for having me, Natalie.
Yes.
I love talking about saying no and reject the hustle. And I appreciate you having me on today.
For sure. We'll have you back sometime soon. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe to the Girl Banker podcast so that you don't miss an episode. And follow me on Instagram at The Girl Banker. The views and opinions expressed in the Girl Banker podcast are those of the individual participants and do not reflect the official policy or position of any financial institution or agency. It is produced by Natalie Bartholomew and Bobby Hudspeth.